Hello and welcome to Bad Pitches, the game show devoted to truly terrible television. I'm your host, Ned Erbar, and we got a show for you. This episode, it's all about money, the almighty dollar, the big currency. Whether it's wads of cash flying around inside a glass cage or an estate's worth of assets some backstabbing rich kids are fighting over, money has been an integral part of so many terrible TV shows, but we know we can do worse. Our four contestants will pitch their absolute worst money-themed show ideas, that our network executive judges will give them some notes, and one unlucky pitcher will be eliminated. But they're not out of the game yet. They'll be promoted and become an executive for the rest of the show, because the TV industry is all about failing upward. In round two, we'll spring a surprise game on the pitchers, then after another elimination slash promotion, the remaining two pitchers will face off in our lightning round. The winner of this episode of Bad Pitches goes home with a Chili's gift card, which I'm pretty sure has about 20 bucks on it.
Nice.
Pitching this episode are
Rod Bastenmeyer, and I sold my body famously for no money.
Julia Young, and I have a $2 bill in my wallet that was given to me by an Amtrak employee 3.5 years ago. Has brought me no luck.
I'm Matt Nadasta, and I'm so cheap, I canceled a dentist appointment this week, even though I have a toothache.
I'm Paga Yaz, and I live every day with crushing credit card debt.
Over at the Network Executive Judge Table, we've got Head Judge Kala McGlynn and our guest judge, Matt Lee. Kala, what are we looking for from these money-themed pitches today?
You know, it's, you know, money, obviously, there's a huge opportunity for some really terrible game shows, you know, like a Deal or No Deal or some third option. You know, there's also a great opportunity for some shows about rich families, like we've got the Kardashians, you know, and I know it doesn't seem like we could get lower than that, but I feel like we could.
Money is a fairly new concept to me because I was raised 3 hours outside of the smallest town outside of Salt Lake City. And I grew up on a commune and we didn't really have money per se. We had, well, the children were currency. I was definitely pushed around like a $2 bill. It was very rare because I had you know, brown eyes. Everyone else had blue. But it was, yeah, I mean, money is a fairly new concept to me. I just learned about it maybe like, what, 5 years ago? And so I'm really just like kind of curious about like, what is it?
We actually don't even pay him. It's great.
I get chickens.
That's a lot to take in. Let's get ready for round one. Okay, Rod, you're up first. Let's hear what you got.
Thank you. House Hunter Stockholm is about a missing woman and her kidnapper as they try to find a place that speaks to them in an economic climate that is pushing them towards tinier and tinier houses. Kitchen islands, reading nooks, decorative phones with no connection to the outside world. What will they sacrifice to stay under budget but in love with the home that's truly theirs? Like, is this windowless dungeon basement too big? Because sometimes when a room is really big, you fill it. And that goes double for dungeon basements. The show will feature celebrity guests such as James Vanderbeek and Detective James Thompson of the local police department as they give their tips on how to stay financially smart while looking for a home that will be yours forever and ask the show's stars to blink twice if they need help. As the class gulf widens and tiny homes become more popular, is this everyman and his child bride ready to do whatever it takes to secure the home of their dreams at a price point that makes sense? Hosted by Melinda Youssef, Malala's sexy alter ego, this is House Hunter Stockholm.
Yeah. Thank you, Rod. Okay.
Thank you.
Judges.
Wow. I feel like that is a really strong bad pitch. Stockholm syndrome is real.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people tell you these days that it isn't, but correct, it is.
Thank you for starting that conversation.
Tell me about James Vanderbeek's involvement.
James Vanderbeek, who is one of America's most beloved Oscar snubs, is desperate for work. And we'll leave it at that.
I would love to know more about this sexy alter ego, Melinda? Is that what her name
Melinda
is?
Youssef.
Melinda Youssef. What is she?
Malala Youssef, in the midst of a rebrand, kind of Disney style, like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, I want to rebel against the way that people know me. She is actually now over school, over reading, and is just sort of, not overeating, but like over the act of reading, and is just sort of like getting in touch with her naughty side. And for some reason is hosting House Hunters Stockholm.
Is this part of a larger, like, is this another series that she's been doing? Like, are we capturing her transformation?
We are actually catching her out of nowhere in media race, suddenly in this weird...
Just raw dogging it.
1,000%. Okay, suddenly, great. Ideally, a viewer is watching and going, is that Malala Yousaf in a weird baby doll?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, that's okay, actually. I want you to start fresh with Melinda. She's her own person.
Melinda
actually.
Sounds great. I love Melinda.
She's cool. She's cool and scary.
Any other questions from other pitchers?
So I'd like to maybe unpack this, like, Stockholm. It's like a colon Stockholm, right? It's like House Hunters colon Stockholm. Are all of the contestants older men with child brides? Is it, you said kidnappies? I feel like that was glossed over. Would you just expand on that?
Yes. Every single contestant is a man and his child bride. Episode after episode, missing women found on live TV with no actual follow through by the local police department, though every episode, a new detective, James Thompson, does do his best as they look for a home that speaks to them as a happy, happy couple.
Now, because this is HGTV, I assume, is there a tie-in with the movie Room? Because it's like Room.
Definitely. You know? I'm thinking Brie Larson, Jacob Tremblay, or the Room from Room could guest star in an episode, for sure, for sure.
Love that for her.
Love that for all of them.
Well, especially the Room.
Okay.
I have a question. I have noticed you seem to do a lot of pitches that involve Malala.
Mm. Well, this is Melinda.
Right, but you know what I mean. Like, it's Melinda's her alter ego, you said.
So. Yes, yes.
What is, like, with your creepy obsession with Malala? Like, do you know her? Like, what's going on there?
Just, creative collaborations are impossible to explain. You know, you just meet someone who, you know, you do work together and you're like, you're my creative soulmate. And even if they don't know
it. So Malala is your creative soulmate?
Yeah, it is one directional because, again, she's continuously surprised by how many projects she seems to be attached to without really her consent.
Have you met her?
What?
Have you met Malala? Like, you and Malala, have you guys, like, met ever or, like, talked? Have you ever talked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced. I think that's all we need for now. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Rod. Okay. We're going to move right along with round one with Julia.
Thank you. Good morning. Money. Everyone loves the Showtime show, Billions, where every week you can watch Paul Giamatti yell at the redheaded guy from Homeland who doesn't really have a mouth. It's a gritty inside look at the cutthroat world of finance billionaires in New York City, I think. But increasingly, is being a billionaire a boomer's game? What about millennials? Where's their show? Well, it's right here. CBS No Access presents Dozens. Starring Paul Giamatti Jr., a.k.a. Small Giamatti, and Lena Dunham, Dozens is a show about New York City millennials trying to make it as freelancers and occasional contributors to Vulture, all while struggling to pay off their student loan debts and Obamacare premiums, while at the same time scrimping enough money together to buy some avocado toast. It brings most of the cast of girls together with employees who have recently lost their jobs in retail due to Forever 21 going bankrupt. It's non-union, semi-non-biographical, and non-budget. Welcome to Marwin. It's Dozens.
All right, Julia. Okay, judges, what do you got?
This is great. I mean, Small Giamatti, you had me at Small Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned that it was non-union.
Yes.
So how do you see us casting this? Like, who are we going to get in the show?
Well, it's kind of like... you know, we're looking for people who will work for no monies, for low monies, little monies, monies to be paid at a later date, exposure. You're getting paid in exposure is really what it is, which I think as we all as millennials and zillennials and older zillennials can understand as a form of currency and such as.
I'm curious to know what ways Lena Dunham will be debasing herself.
Sure. So she'll basically, all of her lines are going to be, she's just going to be reading essays she's previously written for The New Yorker. And like those will be her lines. So she'll just be talking about that dog that she had to give up for adoption. Probably endometriosis.
Great. Do we have any questions from other pitchers?
Yeah, thank you. This is sort of just... personal question. I want to know why you looked directly at me when you said older zillennial. It felt pointed. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I guess I don't know how old you are, but I feel like it's probably just like a lot older than me based on skin quality and size of pores.
Thank you for clarifying that.
That got pretty heated.
That was very heated. Let's move on to the next pitch before.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I feel like we need to.
Yeah. Before this. Okay. Matt, you're up next. Let's hear what you got.
Good evening to all. What's the problem with most financial TV shows? They're about dollars. You're really going to go on TV and talk about United States currency? Say it with me. Okay, boomer. Millennials need a show giving them advice about the future of investing. Introducing Tales from the Crypto, the only show that takes you inside the breakneck world of Bitcoin, Skullcoin, Muskbucks, and all your favorite cryptocurrencies. Hosted by seven pale dudes whose parents pay their rent, every episode gives you the latest news on whether it's a good time to invest in cryptocurrency. Spoiler alert, it always is. But don't worry, guys, it's not all business. The hosts also get silly, reviewing flavors of Soylent, complaining about the latest Star Wars movies, and a fun recurring game where they challenge each other to explain the concept of blockchain in under 20,000 words. The loser has to talk to a girl. I can't guarantee that watching Tales from the Crypto will turn you into a millionaire, but it will. I guarantee it.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Judges, what do you have?
I really love this because I will tell you, I can't tell you how many Musk bucks I have wasted trying to find out when is the right time to invest in crypto.
Now,
what kind of financial experts do you have on the show, though? Are we going to give out real information or are we going to just sort of tell people whatever we think?
No, these are real experts. These are the top posters on Reddit. They each have unbelievable amounts of gold and upvotes, and these are the loudest people the internet has to offer.
Amazing. Matt?
I admittedly don't know what the internet is.
Okay.
And I think you mentioned online. I've heard that before.
Yeah, online is a kind of internet.
Great. I mean, the closest thing I have to a computer in my home is the lamp by my bed. So can I
Is it a Philips Hue?
I've named it Jeffrey.
Okay.
It's not named Philip. Anyways, can I buy Muskbox Bitcoin on my lamp? Or
well, you know, it is admittedly a digital exclusive currency, but it really shouldn't be intimidating to you. All you have to do is build yourself a computer with at least a the latest CPU.
Oh,
and then you just have to get a VPN so that your data can't be tracked by the NSA or any kind of third parties, and then you just have to mine it using a 32-bit algorithm.
I was never vaccinated, so I can't get any of those things.
All right.
Any questions from our other pitchers?
I have a question for the pitcher, the man with glasses. Thank you. Are women allowed to or encouraged to watch this show, number one? And number two, will Zuck make an appearance?
I mean, an offer has been put out to Zuck. We got in touch with his people. I'm answering the second question first because I kind of feel like dancing around the first one for a long time.
Understood.
So, you know, Zuck, it's all on his timetable. You know, obviously we've put out to him in the appropriate channels, but we have heavy interest from Elon Musk. He will not stop calling us. We started blocking it. And as for women, basically if they can get off their high horse and stop ruining Star Wars, they'll be welcome on the show.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Now, one last pitch for round one to tie things up. Pega, what do you got?
Ladies, gentlemen, I'm here to talk to you about the pyramid. I was like you guys once, just miserable working for the man. That's when the pyramid came into my life and it changed everything. Okay. The pyramid is more than just a TV show. It's a brand. It's a business model. It's a lifestyle. It's an energy drink. It's a mid-level marketing experience. It's really simple, you guys. It's so easy. All you have to do is you order 12 episodes, okay? And we deliver those 12 episodes to you. And then you sell those 12 episodes to the networks. Okay, and then we send you 12 more episodes, okay? And then at that point, you sell those episodes, again, to the networks. Or you could, you know, hire people to sell those episodes for you. And then, you know, and then you're a business owner. Then you're working for yourself. You're making your own hours. You have people reporting to you. You just gotta sell those episodes, you know. And again, they sell themselves. you're going to be rich. Okay. I'm telling you, the pyramid is the answer. Okay. I have this visual aid here. We've got episodes up here at the top of the pyramid. And then here is the networks. Okay. And then here we got below that, we have audiences and then energy drinks just right here at the base of the pyramid. And as you can see here, it all leads to profit. So that's it. The pyramid. Drink the power of the pyramid. Pyramid brand energy drinks. Thank you.
All right. That was very informative. Judges, what did you think of that one?
I hate to be the one to have to say this, but is this a show? Or are you literally just asking other people to sell episodes of a show that doesn't exist?
Let me stop you right there. Thank you so much for that question. That's a great question. It's a fair question. I'm going to respond to your question with another question.
Okay.
Do you still have student loans?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you have student loans. Everyone's raising their hand right now. Do you want to pay off your student loans? The pyramid will help you pay off your student loans, okay? The power of the pyramid. It's all about the power of the pyramid.
How long is the show?
That's not the point. The point is you can be your own boss, okay? So, and you're going to want to get in on the ground level, okay? It's really easy.
I'm flabbergasted, simple. Honestly. Matt, I feel like whatever you're going to ask is probably not going to clear this up, but go ahead.
I want to be my own boss.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad that you're ready to sign. Are you ready? Can I sign you up for 12 episodes?
Do you have to have much of an education to sell?
Not
this?
At all.
Because I was,
honestly,
my school was a burnt out school bus in the middle of the Salt Lake
Flats. So was mine. You know, I'm looking at you today and I'm thinking about where I am now.
Thank you.
I was exactly like you once. And you know what? You could be just like me.
I want to be my own boss.
You can be your own boss.
I want to be my own boss.
You can be your own boss.
Okay, Matt, as your boss, you work here.
But he doesn't have to, and neither do you.
What is happening right now?
This is probably very dangerous, but do any other pitchers have any questions for this pitch?
I guess a big question I have is, mm-hmm. can you at all explain the energy drinks?
It's an energy drink, but it's also a brand, and it's also a lifestyle.
Are there drinks to drink?
Trust me, you don't want to stress yourself out about something that's like not. What you really want to do is you want to focus on your goal.
Yeah.
You want to make a list. You want to follow the steps on that list. You want to be your own boss.
You know, maybe you're right.
Thank you.
I think it's time to move on before we all become consumed by the pyramid.
That is a fair idea. Judges, it's time to weigh in now on the pitches you've heard so far. How profitable were these ideas?
Well, I could see a few of them coming in under budget, considering some of them are yet to be totally defined. But yeah, you know, it's given us a lot to think about.
Right now, it's a part of my business. I'm currently $25,000 in debt. But I think that the profitability is definitely possible. It's just all on me. It's all on my ability to sell these energy episodes.
Okay, of course, not everyone can move on to round two. So, Katla, who is getting promoted this time?
Yeah, you know, after thinking about it, we decided that one pitch was just too good, too good to take. And that is owed in a large part to Small Giamatti. Mm-hmm. I think Julia's show is the one that we're not picking up. And Julia's going to join us over here at the judges'
Congratulations.
Corner.
Congratulations.
Your show just was not bad enough. How does it feel?
Yes, thank you so much. Glad to be part of this community. And I will say we just found out Allison Williams bought the show. So joke's on nobody.
Okay, now let's move right along to round two. This time, we're going to play a game we like to call Under Budget. Contestants, you're going to be given a hit show with a justifiably huge budget. Our execs want to capture some of that magic, but they don't want to spend any money. So you've got to tell us how you'd make the same show for a tenth of the budget. Okay, Rod, tell us how you would make Game of Thrones for a tenth of the budget.
Incredible. I think that the way to really continue to keep the essence of Game of Thrones to really understand what it is that worked about the show, which was, of course, Kit Harington's incredible fur coat. So what I'm thinking is that we really save some money but keep the essence of what the Game of Thrones fans love by just kind of having his coat on one of those, like, headless, like, sewing dummies for 9 to 10 episodes sort of in like the window of a mall, actually. So actually, you know, what makes the show really cheap is that it's really not a show. It's kind of just like security footage of this like JCPenney window in a mall with this coat that looks vaguely like the Game of Thrones coat. Really fantasy, prestige, security footage.
Fantastic. Okay, judges, what did you think of this newer, cheaper Game of Thrones?
I mean, it's a great solution to a problem that no one has, you know, which I feel like are the best kind.
Yes.
I'm concerned that you don't know the word mannequin.
I don't understand the problem.
It's actually a good point. Do you have sewing dummies at home? Is that something you're into?
I mean, my friends, my family, my chosen family, just a bunch of headless sewing dummies. And
got it.
It seems like you've only really addressed Kit Harington and his salary. I mean, there's dragons, there's a lot of other actors. So I guess I just don't quite understand how just eliminating Kit Harington is going to cut 9/10 of the budget.
No, it's more that I'm eliminating the entire show with the tacit understanding that the only thing people really watched it for was Kit Harington's coat. Is that, you know, am I reading the room right? And, huh, okay. I'm just remembering a lot of Twitter conversation being about only a coat. Is that not what the show's about?
All right, moving right along. Matt, tell us how you would make The Morning Show for a tenth of the budget.
Okay, The Morning Show, obviously the biggest hit of the year. It's turned Apple Plus into the number one streaming service that everyone is talking about. And obviously, there's one reason for that, and also the reason for its huge budget, its fantastic cast. And obviously, the logical way to make the show cheaper is to ruin their reputations and make them cheaper to hire. So what we're going to do is plant stories in the notoriously unreliable British tabloids about the cast, Steve Carell. Maybe he kills horses just to watch their eyes when they die. Jennifer Aniston, maybe it turns out she was Renee Zellweger all along. My plan makes a lot of sense, so I understand if there are no questions.
Judges, are there any questions?
Yes, several. Well, first of all, what tabloids are you thinking for this?
Sun, Mirror, the Daily Mail, the Morning Hullabaloo.
Keep going.
Yeah, Crazy Paps Flying Circus. The Morning Pot of Tea, and everyone's favorite, Jaunty Bobby on the Street.
Love that one.
It's not to be confused with Billy on the Street. This is a policeman.
Got it. Other than planting these stories, you know, how do we ensure that people don't find out that the stories are fake?
People don't care, in my experience. You know, we don't really need any sources. They could easily be disproven, and it won't be covered in the story because they'll already have moved on to which Great British Baking Show contestant is a slut.
Mm. So it's clear you hate women, but I just want to know what you would do to ruin the reputation of Steve Carell, a man who you clearly are somewhat obsessed with.
I'm going to address your first point first. I don't hate women. I just wish they would stop ruining Star Wars. And so anyway, I accept your apology.
Wow. That's a wow. Okay.
All right. One more. For round two. Pega, tell us how you would make The Crown for a tenth of the budget.
Ah, The Crown, a show I have seen about the Queen of England, I think, who wears a crown. That seems a little easy to maybe just use plastic jewelry. That's probably where a lot of their money is going to. We're going to use costume jewelry, maybe cut down the whole costume budget in general, and get a sponsorship tie-in with TJ Maxx at the same time. All of the British royalty has to wear only TJ Maxx. Does that sound good?
I mean, I just don't know if that would reduce it like 90%.
Yeah, but research actually shows that most of the Crown's budget goes toward like costuming and jewelry.
Interesting. How else would you bring down the budget in terms of the casting?
Oh, the casting.
Who would you recast?
Because I totally know who's in it for sure. Octavia. No, what's her name? Okay, Olivia Colman will replace her with the much less expensive Kathy Bates.
Okay.
Who has been looking to cross over into the UK. She's willing to do this for free because she so desperately wants those British pounds, if you will.
So I have seen The Crown, much like you have, I think. So something I think that is a lot of the budget is the different locations that they shoot in. They make everything accurate to the period. I guess with them dressed as Maxinistas, do you think that that's going to affect the historical accuracy?
I find that most people don't necessarily know, like, anything about history in a way. Like, so I just think that, like, I don't know necessarily if people are going to, like, be able to pinpoint, like, why is the queen wearing a crop top and, like, acid wash jeans? You know what I mean?
Thank you for being so brave about calling out people for not knowing history. I bet no one in this room can name the seven elders who have ruled the salt flats that I grew up on. But I'm just really proud that we're going to go at the mainstream
media, media. MSM.
Yes, the MSM, and kind of really just take them down, you know, where it hurts. In the jewels.
Thank you. Oh, that was a good tie in there.
Rod, your question?
Just to sort of bounce off of what the prosecutor was saying about casting ideas in this room, the idea of Kathy Bates playing Olivia Colman, playing the Queen of England, is incredible. I can't believe I'm doing this. I actually would love to throw my hat in the ring to play Kathy Bates playing Olivia Colman, playing the Queen of England. And if I may, I would love to use this opportunity to audition by playing Kathy Bates in Titanic.
Okay, go on. Thank you. I'd love to hear it.
Those are your men out there!
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you. We have a lot to think about here.
All right. That was round two. Judges, you'll take a moment to deliberate. First, we're going to get a word from our sponsors. And today's episode's product comes from Sam in Pasadena. Let's face it. It's 2020, and consumers are tired of products that just do one thing. Your TV can browse the internet, your phone doubles as an NSA listening device, and your car can easily transform into your home. Isn't it time your periodicals started diversifying too? Well, get ready for our new line of TP Mags. All the magazine titles you love, but printed on soft, absorbent 2-ply toilet paper. Subscribe today to get the most out of your bathroom experience. Who says print is dead? And we're back. All right. Katla, what pitcher is not going to make it all the way to the lightning round?
You know, I thought all the pitches were equally terrible. But one person we ended up having to just immediately eliminate because they have this new acting opportunity. And that would be Rod, who was recently cast as Kathy Bates playing Olivia Colman playing the Queen in The Crown.
Congratulations, Rod.
Congrats, Rod.
This is incredible. I can't believe I get to be out of the writer's room and away from you monsters and where I belong, the A-list.
Well, I would call it that.
Just A-list.
Just A-list. It's A-list, yeah.
A-list, yeah. Some type of list.
Great.
All right, now it's time for the lightning round. Here's how it works. I have a list of show titles that the execs have greenlit sight unseen with no idea what they're about, so you're going to tell them. You'll each get 5 shows to pitch, and then our judges, all 4 of them, will determine the big winner of this episode. All right, Matt, your first show is eBay Live.
eBay Live is a very exciting show where you get the top eBay bidders from Sri Lanka to all sit together in a room and fight to the death over an original C-3PO Pez dispenser.
All right. Pega, tell me about the show Celebrity Bankruptcy.
So this is actually a really haunting documentary about the rise and mostly the fall of Nicolas Cage. When I say haunting, I mean that literally. It's about the haunted house that he bought right before he declared bankruptcy in New Orleans. It was famously haunted.
Matt, your next show is Dollars and Cents.
Oh, well, this is a very fun show with a pun title. It's Dollars and Cents, spelled S-E-N-S-E, where you get financial advice from who else? Nicolas Cage. He tells you which haunted houses to build, which famous historic graves to bulldoze, and which islands to buy that can be taken from you by the IRS, with bonus points on naming your kid after Superman and being a bad actor.
Nicolas Cage, if you're listening, I'm sorry. All right, Pega, your next show is What's It Worth to You?
This is a deeply painful show focusing on hoarders, where they are forced to sell all of their possessions. Don't try this at home, kids, like, seriously, but they're forced to, like, go through and label and sell all their possessions, and you can't not watch it.
We like shows that you can't not watch. All right, Matt, your next show is Extreme Monopoly.
Extreme Monopoly is a show where basically the titans of industry, like Jeff Bezos and Mike Bloomberg, compete to see who can get a monopoly on their respective industry before these others can. And once they do, they get to buy the government and then have us all work for them like ants in a giant farm.
Fun! Pega, your next show is Where There's a Will.
This show is about Will Forte being bequeathed a large McMansion because of an obscure relative's death. And now he's got to go and figure out, he's got to go back to his hometown and, you know, figure out, and then he falls in love.
Okay, Matt, tell us about Oops, I'm Broke.
Oops, I'm Broke is a very fun new reality show where people sign up not knowing what the show is, and then we liquidate their bank accounts and see how well they would do with no money. And it's really fun because nobody does very well. They all kind of wind up basically just being poor and sad, and then you keep the camera on them for a really long time. And every episode basically covers the next 10 years of their life. And the real fun part is if they manage to get some money, then we take that away too. So you really just get to see people at their best, you know, clawing their way desperately out of a hole that keeps getting deeper.
That was a lot. All right, Pega, your show, on the other hand, is Out of Debt.
Oh, man, I would watch that show. So it's a show about what all of us millennials have to do to get out of debt. And it's really a show about sex trafficking, unfortunately.
All right. That took a turn. All right. Matt, this is your last show for the lightning round.
Oh, boy.
Make it count. Tell us about the show Can Buy Me Love.
Can Buy Me Love is a show. It's basically a remake of Supermarket Sweep, except the supermarket is only full of canned goods. And people basically have to fill their cart with enough canned goods that a drifter will fall in love with them. We get a drifter for every show, and they have to pick which person at the end they want to get married to. Legally binding wedding. People have to commit. The contestant, if they win, they get $1 million, but they have to stay married to this drifter and eat only canned food for the next 20 years.
All right, and Pega, the last show of the lightning round. Tell us about Everybody Steals.
So this is actually autobiographical, and it's a really personal piece. And it's about, you know, like when you're in college and you're going to Sephora and you like really like the makeup brushes and you just like just take them. You know what I mean?
No. All right. That was the lightning round. Okay. Thank you, Pega. Thank you, Matt. Judges, all four of you, what did you think of these shows?
I'll start. I was really into a few of these, particularly because of how cruel they are. You know, the what's it worth to you, Pega? I feel like, I mean, pretty much, I think that would classify as torture porn.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, again, it can be streamed on any platform, including on Pornhub.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Any other questions from other judges?
I have a question for the woman in the room about the sex trafficking show. What was that one called?
That one was called Out of Debt. Yeah.
So you're in this show, people have sex and then they get paid and then they erase their student debt?
Right. Okay. So what's your question?
How much for a beach?
Are you asking me how much I would...
It's your show!
Okay, like, again, I'm not willing to say that on air, but I'll tell you privately after we can discuss.
We all went to grad school.
We can work out a negotiable rate that works for both of us.
Hi, Rod here. The star, yes, of The Crown. I'm wondering, you know, a lot of these pitches, all incredible and all, as Pega said, in a way, deeply painful. A lot of them are reality television shows, it seems, and not necessarily scripted shows. And as an actor, I'm wondering, you know, this erasing of my art form. Where do actors, where do stars like myself, where do we fit into this new wave of reality TV focused programming? Can any of these be turned into a film or a scripted series? I'm just curious.
I think that if you believe that reality television is not scripted and there are no actors, then like that's so cute, and I love that for you.
I also didn't say this explicitly because I wanted to save time. I thought it was assumed, but every one of my pitches, of course, incorporates somebody playing Kathy Bates, playing Olivia Colman,
yes,
playing the queen in every show. You know, she's Nick Cage's spiritual advisor. She's a judge in all of the reality ideas, which I can remember. She's there just sort of as a guiding spirit, has some great lines, some long soliloquies. The actor or actress, probably actor, who plays her will be very well paid and lavished with awards. I don't even know who would play her, you know? It could be anybody in this room.
He's looking at Rod. He's literally looking at Rod.
I'm not staring at Rod because he has the role. I'm just, like, captivated by how much he embodies this character.
We all are. Just can't stop staring at Rod. Mm-hmm. Well, I think me and my fellow judges have a lot to think about.
Okay. That means there's only one thing left to do, and that is to crown this episode's winner. Okay, Kyla, who's going home with the big prize?
Well, you know, really, it was a tough decision, but from the very beginning with Tales of the Crypto, he just really stole our hearts, just like he will steal all of people's money that watch his shows. Matt is the winner of this episode.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so honored. You know, the windfall of selling this pitch will make it so I don't have to go back to my day job as a pediatric surgeon.
Thanks again for tuning in to Bad Pitches. Be sure to subscribe and check out new episodes every other Monday. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, give us 5 stars, tell your friends. Anything to make all this effort seem marginally worth it. And if you've got an idea for a bad product we can advertise during our commercial break, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Bad Pitches TV, and we just might pick yours. For all of us here at Bad Pitches, I'm Ned Erbar saying see you next time.